First thing on the agenda is call order. Second, approval of minutes. Look for a motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving on to discussion items. Item A is 1SEL, report to the region.
Good afternoon. My name is Aaron Young. I'm the Sustainability Planning Manager here at State Lake. And I'm going to give you the annual update of activities and progress on 1SEL. I will start out by giving you a little bit of a brief background. 1SEL is a collaboration to create a more sustainable region. The collaboration began in 2010 with a group of partners that put together a regional plan for sustainability through a grant from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. East West Gateway was the grant manager on that, but we did work with 10 other partners from across the region on putting together a regional plan. Associated with that plan is a website, 1SEL.org, that includes best practices, resources, and other information regarding what we did in that grant process and for sustainability practices. The grant lasted from 2010 to 2013. In 2014, the grant partners reformed as a semi-formal network called the 1SEL Network that consists of a leadership network, which was the steering committee from the grant, a communications team, and 6 working groups. Most recently, in 2017, T-Rex, the downtown St. Louis Business Incubator, joined the 1SEL Network and now offers us a place. Our location where we hold monthly learning and networking events we call the Sustainability Lab at TRAS. This gives a brief synopsis of what is going on with the network. The plan laid out 333 goals, objectives, and strategies, which is really hard to follow. So the network formed 6 working groups that is implementing those goals, objectives, and strategies. And they are monitoring their work through a set of selected performance indicators where they have set their own targets for performance. The groups monitor the metrics and review their performance and adjust as needed to make sure they're having enough of impact. In your packets today, there are 2 documents. The first is the report to the region that has the documents, most of what I'm going to talk to you about today. And then the second is this is a clip of an insert of the sustainability indicators that one of the East West Gateway managers and the measure for 57 indicators across the St. Louis region. These indicators differ from other report that we do at East West Gateway where we measure ourselves according to other secure regions from across the country. The 1SEL indicators are internal and we just measure our own progress within the region. This handout had us is color-coded by how the performance indicators are performing, with green means they're moving in the desired direction. Red means they're not moving in the desired direction, and yellow means they're staying stable. And then at the bottom, you see an instance where we only have 1 point of measurement, so we can compare to our current region, so it does not have a color code. To sum up what's in that document pretty quickly, we have an improving economy. Quality job per capita and GDP for the region is up, but that is associated with more economic development, so travel times are also increasing, as well as vehicle miles traveled. As we all know, our region does not perform well with measures of equity. While concentrated poverty is increasing, housing affordability is unchanged, as well as the income gap is increasing. Also, cities are taking action across the region on sustainability. They are planning for climate change. And by that, we mean they're joining other national networks of activities like Cool City. The cities are pledging to move to 100% renewable energy. And they are creating climate action. So generally, some of the OneSTL activities that we're participating in, a lot of activity happens around sustainability-led at T-Rex. We hold those events monthly, and we had over 500 attendees in 2019. We also hold complimentary events in St. Peter's and Halton to get more people access to the information that we're trying to teach people about. We have informational topics on food and environmental justice, which you can go there yourself. And then we also have, we engage in partnerships to bring the educational content to the sustainability labs. We not just T-Rex doesn't just hold the event, they organize business-related educational content to bring to the labs. We've also partnered with Singularity University, which is a nonprofit that promotes business development for tech startups. And we've also partnered with the U.S. Green Building Council and the American Planning Association. The OneSTL Network is also engaging quite actively in social media. One of our workmates got a grant to do social media outreach for recycling. And through that grant, has really increased the presence of OneSTL on social media, and through that we now get hundreds, thousands of social media reaches over the last year. The working groups also meet regularly. Most of them meet once a month. And then they also bring educational content to the sustainability labs. And last, our OneSTL network is planning a regional plan, or a regional sustainability summit in November of this year. It'll be the week after the East West Gate annual meeting, and it'll be a follow-up to the sustainability summit we had in 2017 to really bring the work of the working groups to the forefront of people's attention. So I'm going to talk to you now a little bit about our working groups. Each of the working groups are independently run. They are formed either through collaboration, like biodiversity, which is currently the city of Assun and Missouri Town Garden. Some of the working groups have volunteers, but most of them are people that are working in these areas anyways and are able to meet and talk to each other about what they're doing. So on each of these slides will be the name of the working group. On the top and on the bottom are logos from organizations that have taken a large role in that working group. Their target is in to the left of the picture. Every working group has their own target to measure their progress. And we're going to briefly discuss with you the activities that the group is planning on taking over the next year. Biodiversity group is creating a regional ecological data set that they're going to put on a website called BiomeSTL. They're going to be taking ecological information to cities and counties to encourage decision makers to use biodiversity in their planning and land use development decisions. The Energy and Emission Group is being led by Washington University and the U.S. Green Building Council, Missouri Gateway Chapter. They're still working on creating the regional greenhouse gas inventory. I reported the same thing last year, but there are some gaps in the data that they're working to fill in before we have a true complete regional greenhouse gas inventory. They're also working with cities to expand efforts to increase energy efficiency programs and to create renewable energy, 100% renewable energy plants. They are also working to and promote commercial and residential solar buy programs, where the more people buy into the program, they can get greater and greater discounts on the materials to put solar on commercial and residential buildings. And then they're going to plan for this year and hold in early next year a regional climate collaborative, where we'll be inviting elected officials and government or business leaders to take additional climate action within their own organizations. The Food Access Group is a program of the St. Louis Food Policy Coalition. And it's being headed by the University of Missouri Extension and the St. Louis University College of Public Health. They are working with local growers to promote locally grown food so that more people in the region have access to healthy and natural foods. They're conducting classes on educational events on getting access to that healthy food and how to prepare it. and they are working to conduct a retail food audit, which is to go into more detail from the more common term that people call food deserts. They want to dive into the data and find out where there's lack of access to healthy food across the region. Our materials and recycling group is the group that got the grant that I mentioned that increased their social media presence. That social media presence and campaign was called Recycle Responsibly. They've gotten a grant to continue that effort to increase regional participation and recycling appropriately. And they're also going to be approaching grocery retailers to reduce the use of plastic and to make sure it's been recycled appropriately. They're also going to this year explore reduction in food waste, because that is either the number one or number two largest product in our municipal waste stream. Transit-oriented development was recently adopted by the Citizens for Modern Transit. They reinstituted their transit-oriented development subgroup, and with the reinstitution of that of their own subgroup, they will be heading up the 1STL transit-oriented development working group. They want to support developers and communities in the region to look for opportunities around Metrolink and Metro bus stations to increase the access to the stations and improve the pedestrian quality of the areas. Last is our water and green infrastructure group. They are looking at watershed planning across the region. We've been mapping and documenting where regional watershed planning has been happening, and we are looking for opportunities to help residents or cities that are in areas that do not have watershed plans to do more watershed planning through technical assistance from the city. And Missouri Compliments Waterkeeper is a new organization in the region, and that person has volunteered to be the leader of this group over the next year. Okay, that's a brief summary. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Seeing no questions, thank you. Moving on to the second item is Metrolink system-wide security assessment.
So just as an introduction, Aries of Florida is with the WSP team that's been working on the Metrolink security project for us for the last, it's been about 18 months or so probably. And that project is coming to a close, at least our contract with WSP is. And so we thought it appropriate to kind of wrap it up with this group and the board and have Harry today and next week, Lorraine. Many of you have met Lorraine. Kind of give everybody an update on where we are with that. So, Harry?
Thank you very much. As Jim said, this is the final status report for the security strategy. And if you recall, there are six different element areas ranging from developing a set of visions for the strategy itself, where we vision ourselves going, and then what are the actual objectives of the strategy. And a number of black papers and technical papers were also developed to help eventually formulate the actual strategy itself. An important component of this was also engagement with those stakeholders that would have an active role in the security effort. So this was the outcome of that visioning session that we held. There are six main objectives, and obviously there were a number of sub-objectives which were formulated into specific tasks. This is all outlined in the overall strategy of the document. So to give you a little bit of an idea of what that direction is, it was to reduce the rate of the perception of crime on the Metrolink system, principally, but we also looked at Metroquest itself. Looked at fair enforcement, not as a tool to generate revenue, that's not what the actual basis for it is, but it's really a tool that's used to help improve the security posture within the transit system. And then looking at security awareness involvement, this means that all Metro employees are engaged and that you're also engaging the passengers themselves, because that's an extension of the eyes and ears of this program. They are the ones that see things, and they need to be, we need to provide a mechanism for them to report those things that don't make them comfortable. Then looking at an overall assistance approach to security. How do you integrate technology? How do you integrate the human elements into it? And then also evaluate where the particular issues are in data analysis, and also conducting a series of assessments, which are known as a threat assessment, and that helps learn where to focus and the direction needs to be for the overall building. Some of these major activities under the plan itself, we outlined what are those activities involved. You can see the listing of those under the major components and underneath each one of those. Some of those activities are required by Missouri and Illinois regulation, and some are included just because they are good practice. And one of the elements that I think is really key is that climate data analysis, because that helps inform where the problem areas are, and based upon that information, then you can begin to look at your security planning enforcement and some of the other areas. Training is a key component as well, because employees need to understand what their role and responsibilities are, and it's also an awareness factor for passengers, because they play a role in the system security. Another major component is that of reviews and audits. This is a process by which periodically assess the effectiveness of the various components that are listed, and is there a need for any sort of change or improvement. So there is an active program that's been suggested for that as well. So to help inform the strategy, it wasn't necessary only to outline those major components that you saw, but it's also necessary to develop a series of white papers that will help Metro staff understand the various purposes are to help improve the security of passengers. So one of those is, what should the training program really look like today? There is a baseline program that has been in existence, but we felt that there were a number of areas where there was a need for improvement. And so that recommendation was made through the training culture. The other one was an all hazards approach. What that means is that we're looking at your safety hazards. That means you're looking at those hazards that are generated due to some sort of man-made or natural disaster. Man-made would be an act of terrorism as an example, and natural disaster would be something like a tornado. But we wanted to combine everything all together and looking at it holistically. Sometimes they are counter to one another. Let me give you an example of that. So, for safety, you want to have emergency exits so people can get out. But for security, you want to make sure the doors are locked so that someone can't come in to commit some sort of crime such as that. So there needs to be this balanced approach. By taking all hazards approach, you're weighing the vulnerabilities and risks under each one of those and say, what is the best approach to deal with this particular problem? So we developed an all-hazards approach for transit for this. We also conducted a series of workshops, the original report that was developed to assess the current state of security of public transit, the counter-trips and even movement in that area, how are these resources being deployed, development strategy developed around that. Not so much on the law enforcement side, but more so on the contracted security and those internal security forces to the government. We are planning a tabletop exercise next week, and the purpose of this exercise is to take the overall strategy that was developed and to test it. Is there anything that we through the tabletop that we need to make an adjustment or improvement to in the strategy itself? A key component of that one is also the communication that takes place between the various groups. If there is something, I can tell you that in all of my years of experience of being involved in tabletop exercises and going through this type of exercise, communication is always one of those points that we improve. Doesn't mean that you're necessarily not doing a good job, it's an area of improvement each time. We can always do a better job there. So where are we today? So one of the things that has happened is the release of contracts with St. Clair County, with St. Louis County, and with the city of St. Louis, they've all been signed. There is a new contract for security services. There was a delay in that. And now those forces will come into play April 1st. That doesn't mean that the planning has not been occurring. And there has been ongoing discussions so that when they are, when the new contract goes into effect, they're ready to go April 1st. That's underway. I think we do know that there's new leadership at the security level, and they've been working hard to align the proposed strategy with the security program itself. We've built continued partnerships with our various stakeholders, and this is always an ongoing effort. One of the other key components is what does that deployment strategy look like for the new contract with security services? The security services internal to the metro also being realigned, and there are new job descriptions that are being developed for that. But how are we moving forward with the resources? That's what's under development. As I just mentioned, the security roles for the internal security staff that has been defined and it's being implemented, and it's being implemented as a security. There was also a proposal for the security staff to wear high visibility uniforms, and those are in place. That will also be true for the contracted security services. So to ensure that there is accountability for the full program, a scorecard was developed. And the scorecard was to focus on these six different areas. There was a slight improvement on the crime prevention through environmental design strategy. This is a concept in which we're taking your design elements to help deter crime within the transit environment. So we're using different types of techniques to do this. Currently, there is a project underway to redesign, I believe it's five different stations. As funds become available, that design will begin to be implemented. But that's underway. So that's an example where that's a big security practices. Where there's been a delay, though, in a slight downturn, is with emergency management. One of the suggestions is to move that from under the safety group into the security group, to align it there. Many transit agencies have that aligned under the security group. I know the transit agency I worked at, that's where it was located as well. That hasn't happened. That's not a major risk. There's, that's another thing. Thank you, Justin. G4S, the delay that it's created a slight downturn, but what we expect, though, is that there to be some major improvements made in the next quarterly report. We should be seeing that. And that is the end of my presentation, but I don't know, Jim, if you want to take questions now, or...
Happy
to answer any questions that you may have. So I think the short of it is that there is progress being made, but it takes time to engage everyone. Yes.
So how, on a ride on MetroLink, am I going to see security on every trip, or is this...
Well, you should see security at some point on every trip, though not on every train car. Yeah, so you'll encounter security on the station platforms as well as roving security on the vehicles. There won't be a security personnel assigned to each train car, if that's what the question is. But certainly on every trip, yes, you should be seeing some form of security, whether that's law enforcement, contract security, or Metro Transit safety specialists.
And is it random, or do you plan for like high crime areas you want to
counter cover? The deployment strategy that's being developed is really to address both. And that is to build those resources where we see more issues. For example, there's a suggestion of having fixed security at certain locations. But on the other hand, what we want to make sure is that there is coverage everywhere, including not only on the platforms or stations themselves, but in the rail cars. So I think you're going to see more visibility, not only because of that deployment strategy, but also because of the individuals from these types of uniforms. That's not to say they can wear the safety vest before, but the uniforms, I think, is a way for them to stand out even further.
Mm-hmm.
One transit agency, all they did was to change the uniforms of the security personnel to cut the vest, and they received comments that, what do you do to get all these people? So it's not a matter of necessarily keeping more people. Is making sure that they can see.
So there's multiple goals, but two of the goals are reduce crime and reduce perception of crime, correct? I think it would be interesting, it's not part of the scorecard, but I know it's something Metro or Bicep is working on, is sort of uniform data reporting and looking back 2 years so we can see the comparison. And I think there is a phenomenon that the perception of crime is significantly worse than the reality of crime on the system. And that perception has, I think, been amplified sometimes by elected officials, sometimes by media. But the data supports the fact that compared to other systems, we're not an outlier. The Metro system is, you know, lawfully as safe as other systems, you know, within the norm, certainly. You know, I think it would be valuable at the conclusion of this process to not just highlight, you know, the work that's been done across all these strategies to reduce crime, but also to highlight the numbers themselves that I think have been, we haven't always directly pointed to the numbers, which I think are where the reality lies. And we're also, we have a high number of security personnel compared to what is typical. So it's certainly not for lack of investment in, you know, security initiatives and personnel. I think it's important to recognize and highlight both those things.
So as I mentioned earlier, the comprehensive security program is being put in place. And elements of that is security reports. In that program, there'll be a periodic security report that will be provided to all stakeholders, and it will define the statistics. So that, yes, I think that's important.
But, so you're saying that now Metrolink has more security than most other urban systems do? Is that what you're saying?
I can't quote, you know, there's as many transit systems as there are regions, but, you know, on a per capita or a per rider basis or a per capita basis per region, it's my understanding, at least, that we have a relatively high number of security personnel across the system.
Is that right?
Yes.
They weren't necessarily used as efficiently as they could be, and that's part of what this process is doing, is trying to figure out not just right-sizing, but making sure people know what lanes they're in. People, when I say people, TSSs, police, city, county, police, and contract security, so that there's not overlap, so people know what their security knows what their responsibilities are, and who reports to who and what the hierarchy is.
I have a follow-up question for Scott's question. Did this study actually benchmark the system against comparable systems in the region and kind of determine, based upon, I guess, the crime statistics, or was there that benchmarking done to other systems?
Benchmarking crime statistics is a little difficult. There's actually a bench at the Imperial College out of England actually does a benchmarking activity for transit agencies within the U.S. And the agency I came from was part of that group. One of the challenges was to do what you just asked. It's very difficult because not the laws in each state are a little bit different. So what was in SALT, the state that I came from, is different than what in SALT is in this state. So how is the government doing a comparison? So they, I wouldn't use the statistic as the benchmark, but rather, what is the practice? And that was benchmarked. So when we did a strategy, we benchmarked against what is considered to be good practice. And we did that based upon research that was conducted by the Transportation Research Board, and it was on a periodic basis. So the answer is yes, but not on the statistics themselves. But that doesn't mean that you need to, what that does mean is that you need to be evaluating your statistics on an ongoing basis to see, am I making progress? And one of the things that's always difficult is that when crime starts to go down, sometimes people say, well, I don't need that program because crime is going down. Well, what was the reason for moving the bar, so to speak? So I would caution you against that, but always look at what is considered to be good practice, and implementing those practices to address the issues that force. I hope I answered that question.
You did.
I'm not trying to go around the circle, but it's really hard to stay on statistics.
Is there, I guess my follow-up is there enough information in the scorecard that us as a region will be able to find a milestone that we can actually have that positive news story and say, here's the outcome of the study and implementation of these recommendations that help improve the perception that we have and we operate a safe transit metro system in the St. Louis region? Is there enough data there that we'll be able to have that feel-good moment that we can get out to the press and actually have something that we can celebrate?
Well, I think the answer is yes. And you do it in two ways. One is literally looking at the scorecard and saying, are these components in place and are they effective? That's number one. And also, what we're advocating is the development of a safety, of a security target. Client scans passengers, client scans Metro employees, and using that target also, it's a lagging indicator. These are leading indicators. These are proactive things. The crime stat is a lagging indicator. And yes, we are establishing targets for those as well. So that is helping maintain these programs to address them.
Any other questions?
I just kind of, I appreciate, I know the city appreciates Sunset Gateway's ongoing involvement in this topic. It's a complex issue when you've got multiple police departments and agencies responsible for security of one system. We've all seen lots of reports and studies that don't have as much follow-through and as much management of implementation. So I just want to say that we appreciate the ongoing engagement to make sure the recommendations in this report have all been, we've moved the ball on almost all of them, I think. And I think we've done better than we might have otherwise known about that.
Thanks. Just so everyone knows, our intention is to, for the next year and a half, follow this scorecard through and be an independent third party reviewer of progress that's being made on these 99 recommendations. I think it's very important that, not just for the region, but for Metro, that somebody else is helping them tell their story, that they're making having successes and making progress on these things. And it's very important, I think, that we have that third-party observation going on with it. So the intention is that we stay included with that, in that process.
Yeah.
Keep it
up. Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll move to the third discussion item, St. Louis Lambert International Airport. Jim?
Yeah. So this came up at the last EAC meeting. Steve Abels had brought up that the Municipal League was wanting or asking our board to have a conversation about St. Louis Lambert International Airport and kind of what the next steps are in terms of that facility in light of the privatization effort going away and what we should do as a region in terms of looking at this. So. It did come up at the board meeting, and the board on the 29th of January asked that, after conversation, asked staff to put together a scope of work for what we should study at Lambert, from governance to economic development potential and other things. All of that recognizing that it may be viewed as a regional asset, but it is owned by the city of St. Louis. So trying to figure out how we do that walk. The mayor was very involved in the conversation, as was Lewis Reed, the president of the Board of Aldermen. The new chairman of the board for East West Gateway, Steve Ellman, and Sam Page were very involved. The Municipal League had a lot of in the conversation. If you want, I can give you all the recordings so you can listen to it. Even put together a key of speakers so you can kind of follow through who's who. But following their direction to put together a scope of work, we sent out a survey. We sent out to the board of directors, to this group, to other regional partners, economic development partners, social service and not-for-profit partners, just others. So we sent it out. I'm not trying to take too much of Mary's presentation here, but took about 90 different individuals. About 90 different individuals. We didn't get 90 responses. I'll let Mary throw that punchline at you. But we were able to, in the short period of time, it's only been about a week, try to sift through what the responses were and figure out what that scope of work would be that we're going to be presenting to the board next week. So Mary, if you'd want to kind of go through all the hard work that you and Jerry have done.
Very good.
I didn't do it. I can't count, so that's what you're doing.
So I'm just going to try to provide you a general overview of what we're seeing and the responses that we received from the survey. We are going to be attempting to provide a little bit more detail and a report to the board next week. But we did just send a survey out 2 weeks ago, and we've been receiving responses that entire time. So we've been trying to update this as we get those responses and try to synthesize some of those responses for you. As Jim said, we did send it out to 90 individuals. We heard back from 39 people. In addition, I just say one other group they didn't mention, we did send it to the Weber Airport Commissioners. So it's a really important group to engage. And we did hear from all of those different groups that he mentioned. We received a diversity of responses both from both sides of the river, from the airport commissioners, from economic development leadership throughout the region, and also some organizations that represent like really work on both sides of that being said, we recognize, and want you to know that we recognize that this is not a scientific poll. This does not indicate all what everybody in St. Louis thinks about a study of Weber Airport. This purpose of this questionnaire was really to gauge our board and leadership in the region of whether or not a study is important at this time, and kind of what people wanted to see in such a study, what the scope should include, how should we address equity, and what kind of outcomes people would expect to see out of such a study. And so really just trying to get an idea from leadership on what that would look like. So these are the eight questions that we asked in the survey. Those first three are fixed response questions. So those are pretty easy. I can show you a figure and tell you exactly how people responded to those. So I'll do that. Then there is questions 6 and 7 were more about process. I'm not really going to go into response about those, but we are taking a serious look at them. We asked people who should be included in the process, which is generally, I tell you, they said everybody. But we did receive a lot of good responses about this, you know, what kind of groups to include and everything like that. And then we had several good, really helpful people telling us that they had data information and some offers for interviews. That we will be following up with those people. And then the last three questions were open-ended questions, and so these were a little bit harder to summarize for you and tell you what people were saying. We want to make sure that everybody is heard, and then we know that we are looking at all the responses. Today we just pulled out some themes that we're seeing of things that are mentioned frequently by a lot of number of people, and so those I'll show you on the last slide. Those are kind of more the general idea of general concepts of what people are saying should be included, what kind of outcomes they'd like to see from a study. We also received a lot of very specific questions that people would like to see the answers to as well. We think those often, they usually fit into kind of the scope items that we're looking at. So we did receive 39 responses, and the first question asked, how important do you consider a study of Weber at this time? And almost everybody said somewhat or very important. We received one response that said it was not important. I will note that that person did go on to say if such a study was conducted, that they did view some of the scope items that we listed as very important as well. So the next question, we asked, we got 14 items listed and asked people to say whether they thought they were important, somewhat, or not important, somewhat important, and very important. For all 14 items, at least 87% of respondents said it was somewhat or very important. And this chart is ordered by the top ones are the ones that received the most responses for very important, down to the ones that received the least responses for that very important mark. And just if you take a look at the first grouping there, like 4 or 5, you'll see that a common theme I see there is that people are really asking us to document some basic facts. So you know, what are the strengths and weaknesses of the airport? Compare Lambert to other U.S. airports, and what are some best practices in airport governance? So really these baseline facts will provide us some good information, common understanding of what's going on, and we can have good regional discussions and decisions about. And then the third, the other one I wanted to point out is economic development around Lambert. So the third item listed there, that's the only one of these 14 that everybody said was somewhat or very important. It's also something that we saw, and I'll talk about more, we see as a theme coming from the open-ended responses as well. Next question was, what do you see as Lambert's most significant challenges? Here we had 7 items listed. And we're not surprised that a lot of people think these are important and significant items. That's why we came up with them. That's why they're listed. It's because we identified them from conversations that were had on the airport. But I think it was interesting to see what kind of came up towards the top on these charts and these responses. So on this one, unused capacity is the top of the chart there, receiving the most very significant responses. And again, that one is about, from the comments people made as well, seeing that this is not only about unused capacity of the airport itself, but also the idea of developing land around the airport is seen as an important component to a study as well as the future of Lambert. So that last, the themes of the responses that we saw from the open-ended questions, those kind of 6 areas that we saw come up time and time again through those different responses to those different items. The most frequent statement was regarding the importance of the airport and the vitality of the region. People want to ensure that we're taking care of this asset, that we're fully leveraging it to have the greatest benefit for the entire region. This comment was often tied to this second bullet point. People really see a need to create to have more international flights as well as direct flights to make the region more attractive to businesses, so potentially moving headquarters here or just to provide moving more business to the region. The third area, these all three top ones are kind of have to do with economic development, the economy, so people see a real opportunity for creating jobs. So we asked that question about how do we address the needs of low-income minority populations in the study of Lambert, and people really, this is the one thing that came up the most. People see an opportunity to create jobs and make sure that we are considering those populations as we do the study, as well as we implement any recommendations and develop at the airport. Next one is about the city owning the airport, being the owner of the airport. There were many comments about this. That there was a need to really involve the city heavily since they are the current owner of the airport and make sure that the outcome is fair, any outcome is fair to the city. This was mentioned by people that work directly with the city, but also people from throughout the region brought up this point in various ways. There were a lot of comments about process, particularly that we need to make sure that this is a transparent and inclusive process. And lastly is this thing that's kind of a catch-all other category, but I do see a common theme here. There were several different comments, one being that we should look at city-county reintegration as part of the study, another that we should consider other assets and challenges, and then also a third one would be that we should consider the coordination of all of the airports in the region. So there were some other ones that fit into this other category. They were a little bit all over the place, but I think the common theme here is that people really want us to recognize that the Lambert is not the only item that needs to be discussed regionally, and that really needs to have a regional decision discussion. So that's kind of just a brief overview of what we're seeing in those responses, and I'll turn it back to Jim.
Yeah. So. This is a little out of cycle how we typically do things. Typically, we come to the Executive Advisory Committee with a staff recommendation and then go to the board for their action. Just kind of how this got introduced and kind of the timing of it. You're not getting, I think, your fair share of time to review some of this stuff, you know? That said, I don't know that we can change the time frame on it too much. So. What I have here is kind of the areas or the proposed study scope, the 10 items that we kind of see as needing to be necessary to be reviewed. Many of those things, I'm sorry, there's a memo going around, so if you don't all have it, that's what I'm referring to. Many of those things are things that Gateway staff can do, or do it in conjunction with other regional agencies that are maybe have an interest in this, economic development individuals and organizations, workforce, those types of groups. Also, much of what's talked about in the study scope has been addressed in other studies. The city of St. Louis did a due diligence report on Lambert. You know, we're still going through that, but there's been several other studies that have been put out. And one thing that Mary referenced was just kind of checking facts, right? And that was kind of a theme of the conversation at the board meeting too, was let's not reinvent the wheel, let's look at what's already been done and try to figure out how that can be integrated into what we're looking at. So overall, most of these things staff is going to be able to work on. However, we will likely need to bring in or retain some consultants on some technically rigorous items that may come up. So we're looking at this taking about 12 to 15 months with the information getting shared all along the way. You know, the big thing we heard, it's something we try to maintain anyway, is transparency and openness. And so we want to be making reports to the board and the executive advisory committee all the way along through the process, whether it's monthly or more often through posting it on the website or doing whatever we need to do. But what I wanted to do was share this memo with you today, give you a couple days to think about it. If you've got some recommendations or some suggestions as to how we could maybe look at it a little differently, share it with me by Friday, close of business if you can. I'm sorry about the quick turnaround, but you know, we have
it's Tuesday already.
I know. Shouldn't have taken yesterday off. That's what it was. What we're trying to do also is put together more of a white paper that we can share the results from the survey and this with the board next week. So we're hoping to send that out on Monday. And we'll make sure you all get a copy of that also. But essentially, or what I'm getting at is this is what the proposed scope is. The board will look at that next week and kind of make their decision as to how they want to move ahead. If you don't have the opportunity to get with us, that's cool. Get with your board member that's appointed you. You know, make sure that they're informed and they're up to speed on what's going on. Give them a heads up if you can. And if they've got questions, you know, my phone, they know my phone number. I know they do. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
How are we
going to
pay for this study?
Well, so that's a good question. most of it is going to be, we don't want to be taking in funds from outside organizations necessarily. That was a lot of the problem around kind of the privatization, or at least I shouldn't say problem. The perception was things were getting done by the people, for the people, and we're paying for it. We do have some funding we're going to try to use here at Gateway. We'll have to figure out where we go from there. The staff time, we can cover through that. We'll just have to figure out if we've got enough of a surplus to cover some of the consulting services. You know, those consulting services, if we end up needing those, that's not that I'm trying to kick the can down the road, but, you know, that's 6 months from now. So we've got a little bit of time to figure that piece of it out.
What's the measure of underutilized capacity, and what is
it? Great question. We haven't done the study. I don't know. I think there were the city's report did get into some of that. I haven't had a chance to review that, but John has. But I don't think.
One of the figures that I've read is, for example, that the so-called new runway is only at about 15% utilization of its capacity. So, and you know, the airport 20 years ago, I had about twice as many passengers as we have today. So there's just a lot of unused capacity in that way.
but I think that's the way we did it when we wrote the question. I'm sorry, I should stand up. But in the comments, when people commented on this question, they also referred to the unused land around the airport as another example of unused capacity. So I guess we're using it in both of those ways.
Question. What did give rise to this? I read Mr. Allman's column before that survey came out.
So part of the issue, of course, Municipal League asked that we look at this because they have 9 or 10 communities, I think, that surround or are neighbors to the airport. And they felt like they weren't being heard, and that they had some input that they could provide about that. The other piece was the privatization, and just, again, it's the city owns it. Nobody's trying to tell the city what to do with it, although it sounds like they are when we're talking about that sort of thing. But the city is part of this conversation. Lewis Reed and the mayor both are part of this conversation. So, the privatization and that effort that was going on.
Is there an executive summary of the study that you're alluding to, Jim, about with regards to the city, for those of us that are not familiar with it?
John, do you know? Is there? I'm not.
Yeah, it's pretty long for an executive summary, but it's on the, the city has the flight 314 transparency.
We can get a copy of that.
Yeah, we can get it definitely.
I mean, if we're going to rely upon that for, like I said, that agreement, real.
Right. And there have been several studies over the years about, not just Lambert, but the other airports in the region. So.
So process question. So this wasn't on the agenda prior to the last meeting. It came up as a request at other business, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't on the agenda that was distributed to the board.
Yes, it was. It was on the board agenda as a discussion item.
Okay. So, can any of these members of the executive advisory board just make a request to put something on in front of?
You can make a request, and then I run it by the chairman, and the chairman can say we'll put it on or not.
Because I can imagine there are an unlimited number of gripes that one jurisdiction here has with another jurisdiction in terms of, how things operate or how they think things should operate, and things that, should or shouldn't be regional responsibilities. But there's not a huge record of those things being elevated to the board, is there?
It depends on the item. Sometimes it comes up under others' discussion. They may bring it up that way. Sometimes it just stews and simmers, before it ever comes or may never come to there.
So the city is a member of the Municipal League of St. Louis, correct?
Right.
Did the Municipal League reach out to the city before bringing this to the Executive Advisory Board last month?
The board met about a week before. That's what we did. Although Ms. Spencer is on the board of directors, it's at the meeting where it was discussed. We didn't have a direct conversation with the mayor's office.
Okay, so you didn't reach out to the city in that case?
Not directly to the mayor, but we didn't put it from all of Ms. Spencer.
Okay, so you didn't put it from one elected official, but not the elected official that is primarily responsible for the assets that is the airport. So one request by one elected official got this in front of the board of directors. So if that's going to be the run of business, I can think of a lot of future requests that may end up in front of the board of directors. Would we be interested in, should we look at St. Charles County joining the regional transit system? Should we have a regional homeless system of homeless service delivery? And just off the top of my head, there's all kinds of things I can think of the board of directors.
Regional workforce development, regional, there's all kinds of things.
Sure. Management, oversight, management of police departments in St. Louis County. I mean, things we, much like the airport, things we know about that are, could be topical. But I think the question is, this is going to take a lot of East West Gateway staff to accomplish over the next year, I would assume. So is this the priority thing we should be looking at? I mean, are we weighing it against all these other potential things that we could be talking about? And is the standard one elected official bringing something to the municipal league and then they don't even talk to the city and then it's in front of the board of directors? I think that's an unusual standard. And are we being, so we're just being asked for input on this before the board meeting next week? We're not taking a vote on this because the board of directors already decided to.
The board directed us to move ahead towards developing these facilities.
Okay.
So Jim, if I understand what your request is today, you just handed the memo out, it listed 10 priorities, got the kind of snapshot of the summary. Is there any discussion on the 10 priorities? Are they in line with what this group kind of feels? Is there anything that you want to scratch off the list or that we want to discuss at today's meeting? Or are there things that you saw from the survey that you think should be added or should be taken?
These priorities equally weighted?
These are actually like, yes, I would say yes. If you were to imagine this to be a book, these would be a chapter in each of them. A chapter.
But it's not, it won't be weighted in the priority of the list.
These would be the things that are being studied and in terms of, are reviewed or synthesized or however you want to say it. They're all, if you imagine a book, each of these is a chapter.
But is your question whether there's any particular order on this list? Is that important part as they review, as people go back and review this list? Is it important, is this order of any significance?
I don't think that order has any significance.
I think the first couple are probably somewhat, the first would be to review the first studies to see what is already being in there so we can see what else we need to build off of in these areas.
So going through the list of 10, is there any that anyone feels in this group should be taken off of the list or they would not want to recommend up to the board? Yeah, this is a discussion item, not a vote. So I mean, just in that vein of discussion,
I think Scott was wanting to say something.
Floor is yours.
Yeah, I don't have any comment on this way. It's good.
And then from the slide that we saw that had the various priorities and it kind of was rated as important, somewhat, or not at all from that list. Is there anything that anyone felt that was missing from this list or just initial feedback?
Well, those are what informed things. Right. So, right.
Was there anything that anyone saw from that survey results or anything that they thought that was missing from the list that they liked by that immediate feedback back in Gateway staff? So based on that, what I heard Jim say was that he's seeking input on this memo, particularly the 10 items that we just saw here and we had an opportunity to discuss by Friday, close of business day. You're going to refine that and then potentially on Monday or Tuesday, prepare a white paper and...
We'd like to have the white paper to send out Monday so that the board members have at least a little time to look
at. So they'll prepare a white paper on Monday and taking this input into play. Then we'll be submitted to the board of directors as part of their packet. And it's on a action item.
It's on, yeah, I was directed to put it on that.
As an action item. So our critical window of input for this group then is close of business day Friday. Any questions about that? Any comments on this? Oh, Scott?
So I guess I'll phrase my comment this way. So the airport has governance now. The airport has an appointed board of directors. If I'm not mistaken, that those directors are established under state law, correct? And the airport is owned by the city of St. Louis. So those are your two existing management structures. So the question is it appropriate to bring these topics to this board or to board of directors without, you know, even giving those entities, whatever the entity may be, right, a heads up that East West Gateway is going to take a look at governance, right? If I come and I say, I want to take a look at governance of St. Charles Transit System, or hey, I want to take a look at governance of, you know, the St. Louis County Police, I mean, these aren't things I necessarily want to do, because they're just hypotheticals, right? Do we want that to be a system where at any time anybody who has a particular gripe with some other agency just gets it in front of the board of directors? It's a rhetorical question, but it's a question for, I think, everybody sitting around this table. That it seems like if you have an asset, you know, that you've owned for a long time and invested money in, that a heads up, you know, courtesy call would be nice. Hey, we want to bring this to the executive advisory board before it goes in front of the board of directors. As the owner, we think the owner should be involved in the discussion from day one. Those seem like the types of, that seems like the way we probably want to operate as a region, not, you know, the way this has transpired. That's my opinion.
Just to put it in context, the mayor, the Perthing Board of Public Service, and both of their appointees were at the table when the conversation was happening. And consensus around moving ahead was unanimous.
I know, but that happened
so
after.
I just want to put it in context for everybody else around the table that they, and people had been reached out
after it came here.
It depends on after it came where? To the EAC?
After it came to the EAC, yes.
I don't know about that. But
The reaching out happened after it got brought here.
Well, it didn't get brought, right. It couldn't have come before the EAC because it didn't come up until the EAC. So it has to come up after.
Yes, but the reaching out happened by you, by East West Gateway, which is great, right? But the reaching out didn't happen by the people, by the entity that brought it to the EAC, which is a municipal. That's where the reaching out did not occur, which seems to be a pretty notable oversight, some might say. Thanks for the chance.
Appreciate the comments. One thing I think Gateway, one of the key things I think the Gateway role that Gateway brings is that really that, and its name is that Council of Governments, and it brings us together as a region to be able to discuss important issues, whether it be security or metro. It wasn't a popular topic for them. Gateway allowed the study in that 2 years ago, but we have outcomes that come from it. If you look at the Freightway District, that was a Gateway-led study that we as a region had that problem. We knew we had an issue of freight traveling through the region and not stopping here. Gateway plays a critical role of bringing its regional partners together to talk about things that we're not comfortable talking about. The airport, regardless of how it started, whether it started in Longford or not, is a regional topic that affects every one of us in this room in some way. And so having Gateway take that lead and responsibility of kind of coordinating that study is a role that they naturally fit into. And that this is a kind of history of them being involved in various other states that affect us on a day-to-day basis. And so I appreciate Jim and his team for taking on unpopular topics time and time again, year after year, trying to find consensus so that we can move this region forward. Whether this study will actually move forward is up to the board of directors. Our role at the AC is to, like, what's Business Friday, say it a third time, get Jim our input.
We have to say it seven times.
Maybe seven times. Get him our input so that, you know, whatever influence this board wants to have on the role that the board of directors makes, you know, our opportunity to do it between now and Friday. The board of directors ultimately make a decision whether this is something they want to gateway to be, have a role in or not. Any other discussion on this item? Seeing none, we'll move on to action items. We have one action item, the modification of the 2020-23 Transportation Improvement Program. Josh?
Thank you. I have requested to add 5 new projects to the TIF. 4 of these, I have requested on behalf of other agencies, the Illinois Consolidated Vehicle Procurement Program. Additionally, Monroe County and MoDOT requested to add 1 new project to the TIF. Staff recommends that the TIP 19-25 and related air quality conforming determination be revised at the questions?
Seeing none, I'm looking for a motion.
Motion to follow staff recommendations.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 5 is other business. Any other business? Seeing none, we'll move on to adjournment. Have a motion?
Sure.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We're adjourned. Thanks.